Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Oh, hi, everyone. Hi there. Welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
You were pointing at me and I was like, yeah,
what?
Oh, yeah, we're doing a podcast.
Listen, I have got to hear the scoop with this botanist.
I know. I don't like that you're so busy and I'm so busy that we're having trouble with the scheduling, but it's not just the scheduling. We're delving into some of our worlds with these interviews.
Were you in hog heaven? I just got to know, were you in hog heaven?
I mean, truly, you'll hear from the interview, like I wanted to be on a trip with her out in the gardens to be truly in hog heaven, because we're going deep on like Jen's loves. On this one, we have a beauty botanist named Jennifer Hirsch. I just realized we had the same name. That's weird. Anyway, I don't know why I didn't realize that before. I hope you like it, Jess. I hope you learned something too. You know, she actually studied at the Royal Botanic Gardens, and I know you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, at Kew in just outside London. So
Kew Gardens.
I just, whenever I think of, you know, England and flowers, you know, I get a Jess Mountain vibe. So anyway, she's a consultant who works with food, beverage, and beauty companies to help them use botanical ingredients more effectively.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, she has a diploma of horticulture from the Royal Botanic Gardens, like I just said. She's also been a garden designer. And then she began studying ethnobotany, and she's worked with governmental bodies and international NGOs to research botanical business diversification and the economic benefits. So like she might go to a community that, for example, where Jess and I met, that harvests shea, but maybe they don't have a great company to sell it to, or they're not getting as much money as they should be. She helps connect communities to companies that want their products, so they're getting paid a fair trade for them. And I thought that was just a really cool job.
She's like not a go-between, but like a
little bit, like
a botanist, like a broker botanist.
Yeah, like if some company is like, we're doing an acai line and wants to find a place where they can do, you know, find acai, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
that's really cool. Very niche.
Before she was a consultant, she actually was in-house at Liz Earle. Love Liz Earle. She was a botanical research manager there, the in-house botanist. And I actually found her this time around through the brand Naughty Hair Care, which we end up talking about. So you'll hear more about that. But she helped work with them on bringing some more botanical ingredients into their products. And she also shares stories of how different cultures rely on botanical ingredients for their ability to improve their appearance, how she's helped bring some of those ingredients to market and products, the stories around those ingredients, her favorite botanical beautifiers. it was just like a really fun conversation. And I hope you like it, Jess Matlin. And I hope you Fat Mascara listeners like it. And let me know what you think. Let's get into it.
Awesome.
Welcome, Jennifer Hirsch. Welcome to Fat Mascara. How are you?
Really good. Thank you.
So you're the beauty botanist, and we're going to get into what exactly even that means. But first, I know that you're in England, and I so expected you to have an English accent, and you so do not. Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Alexandria, Virginia, Washington, D.C. But I've been here for 25 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're British then. Let's talk about this beauty botanist title. This is a new title that I haven't seen before. What does that mean?
So I named my business that because I was doing a lot of press working for the Liz Earle Beauty Co. And I was with one of the founders and somebody said in her hearing, oh, you know, the beauty botanist. And she said to me, if you ever leave us and set up on your own, that is your brand name. And so when I did, it was the obvious thing. And actually, ironically, my first few clients were in the beverage industry. Nothing to do with beauty at all, but...
Got it. So, but your training then, you're a botanist by training? What kind of education do you have and how'd you get into the world of plants?
So I have a degree in English Lit from Earlham College in Indiana. And then I did what all of us do when you graduate with a degree in English Lit and went, oh my God, what do I do with that degree? And I thought I'd be a librarian. So for somebody who loves to talk, that was probably the dumbest idea known to man. But it was the beginning of sort of the real internet search engine age and being able to search literature online and all of the science world open up. And it was interesting to me. And then I realized that librarians have to be quiet a lot. And it kind of became obvious that wasn't for me. And I went to work for a fantastic garden designer and plants woman in Beaufort, South Carolina, Frances Parker. Also relatively quickly realized that while I loved working for Frances, I probably wanted to know more and get more education. And I ended up coming to work for the Archbishop of Canterbury for a summer in his garden in London. And it sort of rolled on. I was offered a place at the Royal Botanic Gardens Kew to study and spent almost 4 years of my life there.
Studying plants.
Studying plants. Asking my favorite question, which is why.
Yes, yes. I love that. So, but at what point did you realize that plants weren't just for like eating and looking nice in the Archbishop's garden and smelling nice, but could actually be, you know, beneficial with beautifying properties and medicinal effects?
Oh, probably really early. My parents were gardeners and my mom used aloe. So she had aloe on the windowsill. And if you chewed your nails in front of her, aloe has aloin in it and it's really bitter and it makes up a lot of those nail chewing deterrent things. And it's really like I can still taste it in my mouth now thinking about it. It is just hideous. So very effective at getting you to stop chewing your nails though.
It is. It's funny you brought up aloe because I feel like even if people aren't aware of all the benefits of plants, like aloe is the one that around the world people know aloe is a skin soother. But you weren't even talking about the soothing. You were talking about it's helping you not like chew your nails. But is it a skin soother, right?
So, and it's got all this data behind it. So they've done heaps and heaps of really excellent science on it to show that aloe affects burns and improves the speed of healing of wounds in hospitals. It's a really amazing ingredient with a huge history.
So before it was studied though, and I know this is something that you've also researched, ethnobotany, if you will, like people around the world, before we had labs, before we were able to do like chemical analysis, people kind of knew which plants were beneficial, right?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of think this is like, you know, no woman keeps using a beauty product. I don't know about men. I know about women, but okay. I would assume it's the same for men. No one keeps using a beauty product if they're not getting a result. I think it's the same thing for plants. And the, like, probably the one exception to that is anything around sex. It seems they keep using it, even if there's no real reason. But I would definitely say for anything relating to skin, we stop using it if it doesn't work. And it was the same thing. So, you know, there are ingredients that go back thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And we're still using the same ingredients for give or take the same purpose today.
Well, I always hear, I feel like I've seen, and I've probably written, I'm sorry, a million stories where it's like, oh, Cleopatra used insert X plant here for beautifying effects. And then I always try and fact check and I'm like, I don't know if we can fact check this. What are some examples of, like, as you've studied the history of plants, that like plants that keep coming up in different cultures around the world as being beneficial to beauty?
So hemp is one that comes up over and over again with reference, like in ancient Chinese literature, to applying it to skin for grazes and burns and things like that.
And applying like a mashed up hemp plant or like the oil of the
oil
hemp
of.
Plant.
So we got really good really quick at compressing things, whether it's mashing up an avocado or mashing up seeds to get at the oil. We got really efficient very early on at that. And that's kind of the consistent thing. So if you want ingredients with history, you're going to look for extracts and oils and essential oils because they go back. The technology used to make them on the whole isn't that difficult to do. And it's, you know, usually a matter of pressing and squeezing to get something out or heating to get something out. And we've been doing it for millennia. So those are the things that when you go back and you look, you know, essential oils, again, the Chinese have been using them and they're documented as having been using them for 3,000 years, possibly more.
Then why does Cleopatra get all the freaking press?
Because I think she was like the world's first beauty editor, right?
And I guess Western culture seems to think it's the center of the universe sometimes. So.
Well, and also, let's be honest, it wasn't Cleopatra, was it? She employed someone good. I mean, yes. That's how I figure it went. Because one woman she was busy. She had a lot of things on. She wasn't like wandering around, trying things out, getting information from other cultures. And, you know, that's unrealistic. She didn't have the time.
You mentioned hemp. What are some other ones that in your studies, like again and again, keep coming up?
Well, aloe comes up over and over again. Honey comes up. And it gets thrown in there as a plant ingredient, not really.
I was just like, is that a botanical? But yes, I see.
Somehow I end up with, no matter who I'm working with, I end up with like the minerals, the clays, and honey. So honey definitely comes up over and over again. Things like chamomile, roses come up over and over again, calendula, some really basic historic ones. And then some of the ones we're seeing come in now as adaptogens or Ayurvedic ingredients that actually have had a huge history in India. Things like ashwagandha. And well, the Chinese are the origin of lots of plant material. And it's everything from things like apples had their roots in China. All the citrus fruits had their roots in China. And things like ginseng, where we're seeing those sort of adaptogenic properties, they all come from the East and have a really long history there.
Now, when you're researching plants, clearly you have tons of them at the Kew Gardens and the gardens that you've worked at where you live, but have you traveled the world to do some of this work?
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes I'm not traveling very far, right? I mean, I've been to a cucumber farm in the northeast of England.
What were you doing there?
Looking at cucumbers, how you grow cucumbers organically.
For beauty benefits?
For beauty benefits, yep. Super cooling and hydrating.
Okay.
And also, basically, when you grow a cucumber, certainly for the British market, you are growing a straight, narrow cucumber that's going to be in a plastic sleeve and therefore needs to fit a certain parameter. And the ones that don't, because the growers are good, but they're not perfect, get put on a pile and they just rot down. So having an alternative use in a secondary market is just a much better way of walking more lightly on the planet.
So you've been focusing recently on looking for alternative uses to what would be food botanicals, but hey, let's use the ugly looking ones for beauty stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at those things for forever. I'll look at anything basically. So I've been, I spent a lot of time in Africa, in places like Northern Uganda, where they have a unique variety of shea that's very different to what grows in places like Ghana. I've spent time in Benin. I've spent time...
Wait, what's so special about Ugandan shea?
It's shea nilotica, and it is softer than the West African shea, so it doesn't need as much heat to press the oil out.
Okay.
But it also, then when you have it in, when you formulate with it, it's softer at room temperature, so it creates a different kind of more luxe feel and product.
Yeah. Some of it can be solid at room temperature, I know, just plain old shea. Is not heating it as much, does that also preserve some like the good antioxidants and like fatty oils and stuff in it?
Yeah, and it just changes the properties of it and how it works.
Oh, okay.
When you heat something like that, so a lot of shea has to be super refined by heat just because of how it's made. And so it goes, while it's soft, it goes through a refining process and that sort of thing. So the less heat you can apply overall to any oil, the better the integrity of the oil is.
Have you ever found yourself like on a travel, like checking out an ingredient and just being like, how the heck did I get here? Like,
oh yeah. I mean, Northern Uganda was a really good one, but an example of that. Or Malawi, I mean, which is just an incredibly beautiful, very poor country.
Yeah. What were you looking at there?
Kigalia, the sausage tree.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that in beauty products.
Yeah. And Dr. Livingston is supposed to have camped underneath. And all I can say was he really wasn't that bright because the fruit weigh like an enormous amount and coming out of the tree at you, you could do some serious damage if you got hit by a falling fruit.
By a falling Kigalia fruit.
Yeah. They're shaped like a sausage and they can weigh, because they're, you know, they're fresh when they, obviously when they come off the tree and they're heavy.
Right.
Because they're full of water. But they can be 2 or 3 feet long.
And that, and so what inside there is good for beauty products?
So interestingly, we have the extract from that has been used for firming. And the women there, clearly bras are not a thing.
Okay.
However, firm breasts are a thing, which I find interesting that that's like the universal concern. So they make fresh masks, I guess is the way to put it, for their boobs from slices of Kigalia to firm it up. And it turns out that the tannins and the flavonoids and the chemistry in there is firming.
See, so this is what I was getting at. Like, okay, maybe these women have been doing this for centuries and their, you know, moms pass it down to them, but nobody had a science lab to show like, oh, the tannins are the thing that's firming up my breasts or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But it works, so they keep doing it.
Yeah. They also use it in beer. So go figure. I don't know.
Is there a time you've ever visited somewhere and you're like, everybody there, all the people there are like, oh, you have to try this ingredient because it does X, Y, Z. And like when you put your science hat on and really look at it, it's not, doesn't hold up to muster.
No, I've had people try and sell me things. And I have to say, like the next time I have a really big contract to negotiate, man, the women who run the shea cooperative in Northern Uganda know the value of their product and are like seriously adamant that you must understand the quality of what they are offering you, whether it's shea or sesame, which they call simsim or hibiscus. Yeah. They're like all over it. But one of the fascinating, like the Kigalia thing's fascinating to me because those women in Northern Uganda, not a million miles from Malawi, had never, I mean, they knew the tree because it's what we call a cosmopolitan tree. It grows wherever the conditions are right in Africa, you find it. And so they knew the tree. It wasn't hugely common, but they knew it. And they were like, what's that good for? And I was like, well, like, the rumor is, like, this is what it's good for. And they were all going to go off and try and find the tree and try it out.
Oh, you're like single-handedly passing on like ethnobotany to it from culture to culture.
Well, I may be screwing with ethnobotany if we're honest.
Right. Like 100 years from now, the Ugandan women get credit for it when really the Malawi cultures are what should have credit. All right. So everybody take that one with a grain of salt. Let's get back to things that we know, are good for people. Yeah. So things that you were naming though, you named the cucumbers and shea and calendula. Like people look out in the natural world and they think, oh, these are all flowers. Everything's safe. We hear a lot of like, oh, it's natural. So it's safe. Does that hold up around the world?
No. I mean, there's context for that, right?
So
like if you ask Aristotle, who poisoned himself with plants, or, you know, the guys who eat mushrooms every year and pop their clogs, plants are no safer than synthetic chemistry. It's all down
Wait, the guys who eat mushrooms where? I'm sorry.
There are people who eat mushrooms every year and die.
Oh, because they're foraging and they got the wrong mushroom kind of thing?
And they got the wrong mushroom, yeah.
Okay, go on.
Or the people, I mean, if you say to a dermatologist, tea tree, they freak because they see tea tree oil irritation every year.
Why is that in a lot of like acne skincare products if it's irritating?
Because it's all about dilution. It's all about how you use it. And that's the thing.
Okay.
Too much of anything isn't good for you. And that's, you know, whether like in the plant world, there are lots of things that are one form of which is safe. So if you look at castor oil, we see it frequently used in beauty and in personal care and in baby products. But ricin is the poison that is made from the bean of the castor oil plant.
So the extracts of the bean, the castor oil that you might put in your hair or whatever, if it's not made right, okay, by that in that
but
process,
the other chemistry of the plant. Deadly.
So do you ever see products on the shelves that use botanicals and there's just way too much of a particular natural botanical ingredient for your liking?
I mean, yeah, we should also say I'm super cautious and I don't think beauty should hurt on the whole. I think if it hurts, you're doing it wrong or that's not an ingredient for you.
Yeah.
But there are definitely some things like clays. There are clays across the spectrum, right? A really nice white China clay, which is okay for more sensitive skins, but like that green clay that's going to suck everything out of your skin. And if you have drier, sensitive skin, probably isn't the right ingredient for you.
Oh, some people love witch hazel. And I feel like I'm on fire when I use witch hazel.
Yeah. And for me, it's also context, like how much is in that? And how are you,
When you look at a product and you turn it over and you look at its little inky list, can you tell how much is in it if you didn't work with the company to formulate it?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no.
Go on.
I mean, it depends on where it falls in the list. But
right.
And also brands do play with that inky list. And so everything underneath 1%, it's a free-for-all where you put it. And actually under 1% can be an incredibly effective amount for some, especially for some of the high-tech actives.
Yeah.
You can put 0.5 in there or 0.6, and that'll get you a substantiated science claim that they have tested and seen the benefit from that low level.
Yeah.
So you don't need much of certain things. And that's why it's kind of hard to read the back of pack of something and think, yeah, I mean, like if I see alcohol really high up a pack, which is actually mostly now a plant ingredient. I'll turn around and go, yep, no, not for me.
Where is that alcohol coming from if it's a plant ingredient? What do you mean by that?
It's usually grain alcohol. Although, I mean, there are lots of other, any place you get sugar and you ferment, you get alcohol, right? So there are lots of opportunities.
And which goes back to your point, which is that there's things from plants that like maybe you don't necessarily want or need.
Yeah.
Are there surprising combinations? Like if you put, I've always wondered this because this always happens with skincare products. People are like, oh, if you put retin A with this thing, you just undid your work because they negate each other. When you're working with plants and working on formulations, are there plants that like cancel each other out?
I think it's more their activities that cancel each other out. So, because I also look at back of pack sometimes and if I know the trade name and they're listing the trade name, which sometimes brands do, of ingredients, and I can think, well, that active is in there for tightening. And tightening is kind of like a pulling activity on your skin because that's how it works, as opposed to like plumping, which is a pushing activity. So if you've got something that does a lot of plumping and a lot of tightening in there, those two things are going to rub up against each other. And you're not going to get any activity that's worth having because they're going to cancel each other out. So for me, that is where I see that happening all the time and wonder, like, why did you formulate that way? So there are cases for that. I think in terms of things amplifying, not so much in topical beauty, but like St. John's wort is one where people recommend it like really casually. The list of warnings and things you should not take, it, like if you're on certain drugs, you should not take.
Oh, you're talking about the supplement, taking like it as a supplement.
Or as I saw it in somebody's, not in Africa, not in Europe, but I saw it on a beauty pack that was like somebody's beauty drink had it in it. And I was like, okay, that's going to be fun.
Because there's people with medicines that would interact with that.
Birth control, for one.
So if you take this beauty drink and you're on oral birth control, it's not going to be as effective.
No, I doubt it will be. But then it makes other things way more effective. Like it can really mess with medications. And it's always an example for me of how powerful plants are. That's why I'm always cautious and want to see the due diligence for something.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
You bring up a point, which is like, I remember when I first got into beauty, I would like go in, Freeman was big and like, they always had like avocado mask and these things. And I was like, I can make it myself. I'm crafty. And I'd go in my kitchen and I'd whip up this thing and I had fun. But as I've gotten further in my career, I'm thinking nothing I'm going to make is going to rival what a chemist and someone like you can put together. Am I right or wrong here?
It depends what you're buying. But yes, on the whole,
okay.
What worries me more is the safety of like somebody. If you're making it and using it and you're using ingredients like oats and avocado and honey, I'm not so worried.
But are you also saying like, I don't know what it's going to do for you, but.
Well, honey's bacteriostatic. Avocado's going to moisturize your skin. And oats, it depends on how blended up you've made them, but they'll probably do some exfoliation. I mean, it would work. But I also know, equally, I got asked a question by somebody who was worried a product was doing something to her scalp, and she was using a baking soda mask she made at home on her scalp, which was definitely the culprit and not the safety tested hair product.
That sounds irritating.
Yeah, well, it was. But I mean, I think there's the safety element in terms of we put in any product that has water, definitely we put preservatives in, and they're there to keep you safe. And we do testing on product, and we're super cautious and careful. I mean, in general, brands are the good guys. And then they have access to all these amazing actives that are made in a lab. And, you know, I'm not going to go around like collecting apple seeds from my apples, mashing them up, working out what the non-saponifiable, so the not soapy bits of the apple seed are, and collecting that and then putting it on my skin to get address fine lines and wrinkles. Not going to happen, right? But I can buy that. And that's your point.
Right. I can't imagine the cost if you're buying enough and fine. Yeah, that is it's kind of my point. But I feel a lot of people think.
I mean, I can buy it in a product.
Yeah, I get it. Well, speaking of these products, so like I know you mentioned you were at Liz Earle. What are some of the companies that hire you, and what are you doing for them?
So it really varies. I've worked for Liz. I worked full time as their in-house botanist, and it's how I got my start, made the transition from pure ethnobotany to beauty. Yeah. And I've worked for The Body Shop, talking about plants and bringing them to life in their launches around the world.
Okay, so you were doing educating. It was a big part of your job.
Well, with the press, like super fun, just bringing stuff to life, explaining how it works, why it works that way, what you can expect. Because otherwise they're kind of dull. If somebody doesn't tell you, and there are fabulous stories about them or about the people who are handling them, growing them, processing them, there's great stuff to talk about. But if no one brings it to life for you and tells the story, you're just never going to hear that stuff. So
yeah, marketers love a plant story. You don't know how many times I've been sitting in a desk side and it's like, let me tell you about this plant that, you know, it paints a beautiful picture. I remember that hair brand, Ojan. Yeah. When that first came out, I don't even know if that's still around. And it was like, these women, you know, in the rainforest, and they use this nut and it makes their hair grow past their butt. And it's just like, it's a lovely fairy tale.
Yeah. But the reality is there's also some great science. And if you're like me, and I know a lot of us are doing this now, you're looking to be a little bit more conscious in your purchases and that sort of thing. You can find brands that are really making a difference by doing good business and just looking at how they purchase and making considered purchases. Again, that point about buying leftover cucumbers or buying a byproduct of another process.
Yeah, there's this brand Lowly I heard about that uses, I think it's like some seed from some fruit that they upcycle. That like the fruit is used, obviously someone eats it. And then they were like, well, the seed has all this good stuff and it was just getting thrown away. And I love that. That's like,
yeah,
beauty to the rescue here.
That's the future, right? Because there are a lot of us on this planet who we need to feed. And I think as much as like I'm obsessed with skincare, eating is kind of a priority. If you're forced to choose.
Yes.
And, I think it's great. There's actually a brand called Upcycle here who use coffee grounds.
As a manual exfoliator?
Yeah. And it's at the core of their products.
I think Frank's
do the same thing.
That,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just such a good example of greater efficiency.
Right, because as land becomes scarce, we obviously want to prioritize making food for the world's people. And like, okay, if we're growing things that are food, let's not spend a whole field on like rose petals maybe. And maybe we can figure another way to get all the rose petal benefits. She made a face though. She clearly likes rose petals.
Rose petals, but there's plenty of things where you can get more active from the ground. So for example, argan, where they're collecting the nuts already. Now they're starting to collect the trimmings from the trees and make stuff out of the chemistry in the leaves. that has incredible activity.
Are there examples of products that are using that are already on the market?
Ooh, I'm sure. I don't know what they are off the top of my head. it's one that I've pitched and pitched and pitched and nobody's taken me up on. I love it. It's because the ingredients in argan are so, in the chemistry of the leaves are really interesting.
Oh my gosh, we have a lot of beauty entrepreneurs and founders that listen to our show. So did you hear that? You can have an upcycling argan story if you contact Jen. She'll help you.
Yeah, I mean, there's heaps of things I want to use.
That's very cool. You know what's funny? I have to bring up a brand. The reason I heard about you was through this brand, Naughty Hair Care.
Yeah.
Is it pronounced Naughty or Naughty?
It's
spelled N-O-U-G-H-T-Y.
And the British say Naughty. Which I can't
Naughty
say.
Naughty hair care. Yes.
And early on, somebody said to me, oh, do you want to do the voiceover? And I was like, that would be okay, but I can't say the name of the brand. Because if they say it, when they use it, it's a wonderful, because it's also how they say zero is not. And so it has like a little double entendre to it, because it's that they don't have all sorts of things in their products, from like parabens or sulfates or silicones. But it's also that their sense of humor is quirky and a little on the, what we would say, naughty side.
I get it. That's what I thought they were going for. Wait, what are in their products? I know a lot of people market their products as it doesn't contain these things, and that's a very popular way to do it. But I imagine if they brought you on board, they wanted to get some good botanicals in there, right?
Yeah. So they are 97% natural. Which is for a brand that's definitely like a mass brand, is just a great figure to have been at. And they have been there for 5 years. Their birthday was actually, I think, yesterday. And so I think it's 5 years. And they use all sorts of plant oils. So you can kind of see where I'm. They use shea and coconut and cocoa and argan and avocado and sunflower, and the list goes on, because I'm a really big fan of the benefits of oil for skin and for hair.
Well, you just named a whole bunch. Is there one star? Is it like you formulating with a balance of all of those is what gives you the cosmetic elegance and all of that?
Yeah. And it's not all of them in a product. It's the right ones for the purpose that you're driving. So,
okay. Richard, so I have thick, frizzy, like wavy hair that I air dry. What do I need?
You need Wave Hello is where you would sit in the naughty world. And you need—
And what botanicals in there?
The botanicals in there are like shea and mango and the really luxe kind of heavy hitters of the plant oil world, because your hair will take up all of that like extra moisture and it will really help your curl. And then we went and we looked at all these, there are heaps of amazing hair ingredients, but we were really focused. Naughty's about high performance, first and foremost. Because it comes from the founder's belief that if you don't create a performance product, there's no point, because no one's going to buy it, right? It doesn't matter how wonderful and natural
it is. I feel like that's everyone's belief. Yes, it's got to work. That's what we started talking about. Like, there's a reason hundreds of years in a row people are putting Kigella on their boobs.
Yeah, and exactly. And with Naughty, it's about creating a high performance result. And that is driven very often by, especially in treatments, by high-tech actives. And so they really look at the science and they really hone down an issue for a specific hair type or specific concern, whether it's like brittle hair or it's curls or it's... And that product is then formulated. And we have a discussion really early on about what ingredients have I seen, what textures are out there, what is the claim that will make a difference? Like, what is the
thing? Is that just like argan oil for everything?
Actually not. It doesn't get...
Well, like, you know, because like that's a very popular oil in the hair world.
And we've used it. But we are really interested in a lot of the extracts that are coming out of the stuff that you chuck when you make white bread flour, right? Wheat bran and wheat germ. And there's just an amazing amount of work going on in the science of the chemistry of part of wheat bran. So it becomes like micro level science. They're really looking at what's in that chemistry. And then they're looking at the problems people are facing, the challenges. So they're looking at pollution. They're looking at, curl, but they're looking at hair that's more brittle and finer. I mean, it's whatever it is, there are scientists out there looking at it and they're addressing it with really interesting things. We've been working recently with a pea ferment, and anything fermented becomes, it's just fascinating. And I've used those ingredients for other things, not hair, for skin before, but seeing how it works on the scalp and in the hair is amazing. And I have had it's
peas that sit in a vat and start fermenting, and the extract of that ferment and all the little postbiotics in there is good for beauty, is what you're saying.
I would just say go look for a product that's got it in it, but because
I'm not saying go make it at home. I just
Okay.
Just for people who might not know what
you're going to have a vat in your apartment of like peas.
No. But
around.
I just wanted to explain. Like, am I explaining a ferment right? I don't know. Like, clearly not. That's why you're here.
Yeah, and they use. It's called peas are called lupins, and so they use lupin ferment for as the base for a lot of things to create in like a synergy with other ingredients. So there's a great one out there that does breast firming. And is a pea and chlorella ferment.
What product is that you're talking about? That's
not in a hair product, but that's out there. So when we start to look for things and peas come up, I get excited because the plain old garden pea has all this potential and power.
What are some other brands you've worked for besides this hair brand? You said the Body Shop. Like if I went to a store, would I see stuff that like brands that you worked on?
Sure. I still work with Naughty every day, almost on something. And I also, work with Decléor, French brand based a lot around essential oils. And then I work with little brands that you'll see in more niche retailers like Net-a-Porter and places like that. Brands like Annie DeMamuel I've worked with, and I've worked with Amly.
I don't know Amly. What's Amly?
So Amly is two women who, one is an organic farmer and the other is a therapist. And they started, they've been best friends forever. And they started a brand together using the spring water off the organic farm. And their first three products were facial mists.
Oh, nice.
No one ever, who launches a brand with three facial mists? Well, the two of them did. And they've grown organically and they are incredibly rigorous in their material selection from like the plant ingredients, everything that goes in that bottle, they have questioned and queried. So for me, I love working with them because I learn and they challenge and it's, and the results are just gorgeous. The smells are gorgeous. The textures are to die for. I mean, they're just beautiful, beautiful products.
Amly.
I did, worked early on the briefing. I work in different ways. So Body Shop, I just do press. But at Naughty, I work from the beginning to the end of product development, but also talking to the press or training or doing customer service, whatever, wherever there's a plant thing, and my fingers probably touch it. But there are other brands where I might be involved in the birth process of the brand and helping with values and really define where they're coming from and what that means in terms of plant ingredients and how they use them and what sort of how you can use plants to reflect who you are as a brand. And then I might help with the product briefs and then I might never touch the brand again. So there's one brand that's like that is a little brand for kids called Spots and Stripes that's for tweens and teens. And I got to develop the fragrances with her and it was the most wonderful experience of like talking about mown grass smells with the perfumer and just how do we achieve that and, really highly naturally. And so for me, the exciting bit is that there's some brands that I have a long, long relationship with, like you know, in the case of Naughty, or there's some brands where I dip in and dip out and I might be there for 3 or 4 months to resolve a problem, but you get to see the inside of, I mean, for me, they're like little jewels. Each one's so different and the challenges are different and the people, and then the ingredient array and how they're using them. It's just, you know, I like to learn and I like to ask why. So for me, I have like the world's best job ever.
I have to ask, after working with all these brands, I'm sure your medicine cabinet is a glory to behold, but like, what are some of your favorite, your personal favorite beauty products these days? What are you using?
So I definitely, the first facial that I ever had that didn't hurt was a Declarer facial. And that is how I met the brand like 20 years ago. And I love the Neroli Aroma Essence still. And that is a definite favorite. If you went in my cabinet, I'm a balm person. So, if it comes in a balm, I'm probably hooked. I am using Francis Prescott's 3-in-1 Tri Balm as one of my cleansers. I'm using.
Oh, a cleansing balm. Or you just like balm textures in general?
It doesn't matter if it's a balm, I'm into it. But honestly, I'm a sucker for them. And I don't know what it is about the texture. I have dry skin, curly, dry hair, dry scalp. I'm like the Sahara Desert. Like, there's never enough moisture in my life. So, Amley, I can't say enough about the face mists. I love their cleansing balm. It's a balm. They also have a sleep serum that's a balm.
What from you mentioned Annie DeMamuel. Is there a product from that line?
If you travel her, she does an inhalation essence. And it helps you, I find, it helps me keep from getting colds. Although now wearing a mask, it might be a bit different. But also she does these seasonal oils and they're always slightly different. And they're just, they are magical. Really, really magical. And
that sounds lovely.
Yeah. Any facial oil, I will probably be kind of a fan of.
You sound like me. I'm like, just give me all the moisture, more moisture.
Yeah, more moisture.
I'm the same. And you said you have dry hair. What styling product will you put in your hair after you're out of the shower?
So I have to say I use a lot of Naughty because there's a lot of it in my life.
Yeah,
I use a curl primer and a curl cream.
Okay.
And they have just launched Frizz Magic, which is anti-frizz. And that we started working on it, everything takes time, right? In beauty, it takes time to make a product. So that product we started working on maybe 18 months, 2 years ago. And when the version that is now the finished version came through my hands and I called the director of product and said, I need more of this. And she was like, well, and I was like, I am going to hold your children hostage. I need this.
This must be good.
This is like the most fabulous thing. And I'm sure the people with fine hair or people for whom frizz is not a problem think I'm crazy, but it works for me. Life-changing as a shampoo and conditioner, just amazing. And those are the things where you think,
those are some of your babies.
Like, I couldn't live without that product. And I didn't know I need, it's the products that you don't know you need that somebody gives you. And you're like, where was that in my life? I've had Declarer make these beautiful 100% natural night balms. And I love them and I love them all and they all smell nice and they have great oils and they're different textures. But they recently made a rosemary one and it shouldn't be for me, right? It's for skins that are prone to breaking out and that sort of thing. But if I think I'm going to get a spot, I'm in there with that. And I will carry that around with my Body Shop tea tree oil in my bag forever and a day. Cause those are just staples. They're the things I can't not have that.
She's stockpiling over in the closet just in case they stop making it. I love it.
Well, they used to, the Body Shop used to make this great hemp balm. Again, balm, there's a theme. And they stopped making it. And I wish I'd known they were going to stop making it because I would have bought all the stock.
Oh, I know. We get all the time from listeners that something's discontinued and they buy all the dead stock and like then it's gone.
Yeah.
Well, those are some new ones for me to check out and for our listeners. Thanks for sharing. Before I let you go, though, we do this with every guest that comes on, and you have to do it too. It's the Fat Mascara 5. It's a quick speed round. Are you ready for the questions?
Yep.
Okay. What's the first beauty product you remember falling in love with?
You're going to laugh. It was Noxzema. My grandfather used Noxzema.
The opposite of like everything we just said.
Yeah, but my grandfather used it and he had the most beautiful skin. And I remember as a little kid, it's the first beauty product I remember being like, I love the smell of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, sorry, Noxzema.
No, that's a great menthol, sure. It's probably from a plant, they're menthol, so
I mean,
it's fine.
I haven't used it in 30, 40 years, but you know.
No, it's a first love. If there was one rule you wish everybody would follow, what would it be?
Be kind.
Been getting that one a lot lately, but yes, it's an excellent answer.
People just aren't. Be kind and smile.
Smile, okay. What's your favorite snack?
Sadly, really weirdly, raw mushrooms.
What?
Yeah, just like fresh raw mushrooms.
A particular type? Like a button?
Yeah, like okay. Butternut chestnut.
This is on brand though for the beauty botanist, I have to say. Trendy and on brand. I like it. What's your most favorite? What's the song that's most played on your playlist right now?
So I went and had a look. And it's actually, this is embarrassing.
She did her homework.
Peter and the Wolf by Prokofiev, because I try not to listen to music with lyrics in it when I'm working because I find it distracting. So I end up listening
That's
to
that
classical
musical
music.
Poem where like each instrument is a different animal, right?
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Love it.
That's all right. It helps you concentrate.
But so I looked and then like after that, it was like Smash Mouth All-Stars, which is bizarre. But I mean, I don't know.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. Eclectic. That's me.
I like it. And last question, if there were to be a movie made of your life, well, you obviously have to call it The Beauty Botanist. Who would narrate it?
So does it have to be somebody living?
No.
If it's somebody living, then it's a girlfriend of mine who's an actress, Caroline Quentin, who makes me laugh. And I just think she'd be great at that. But if it's somebody who is dead, my poetry lecturer in college was a guy named Paul Lacey. And he had the most beautiful voice you have ever heard. And it was really risky because poetry was 2 hours after lunch. And he had this voice. And I can just remember like sitting there with my fingers holding my eyelids open.
Well, we don't want to put people to sleep with your movie,
no,
Jen.
But he had this voice that you could just listen to and just,
I get it.
It was mesmerizing. So yeah, that would be mine. Because somebody's got to make plants either funny or fascinating, one way or the other. Because they need champions.
Well, I think you're doing a pretty good job at that. I'm fascinated. I don't know if we had a funny plant story, but we had a lot of stories. So I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Thanks so much.
It's been a joy. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com. We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.